Well, hello and welcome to our traditional service today. We're here in All Saints Church in Malvern Wells and the Witch, and we are really pleased to have you joining us wherever you are joining us from. Particular warm welcome to anyone who's a visitor this morning who's watching us for the first time. You are really welcome to be part of our community this morning, and we pray that you would know something of God's comfort and God's peace and God's presence with you as you worship with us this morning. My name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector of St Andrew's and All Saints here in Malvern. And our curate, Peter Myers, is going to be sharing later on from Psalm 77 as we continue to look at our series of looking through the Psalms. Psalm 77, which is a great psalm of real honesty and emotion poured out to God. And this psalm, as we'll see, reminds us that however we're feeling, we can come and be honest with God. We can come and pour out our hearts to him and find new peace and new strength and new purpose and a new perspective as we encounter him. And that's my prayer for each of us as we gather in worship today, that we would meet with the living God and that he would encounter us afresh. I'm going to begin by reading some verses from that psalm as we lead into our first hymn. But the psalmist says, "Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph." And we come to praise our God this morning, to come and acknowledge that he's a holy God, that he's a powerful God, that he knows us, that he's redeemed us, that he loves us. So first of all, I just invite you to be still and allow your God, our God, to meet with us. We begin our worship by singing hymn number 237, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty." Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Merciful and Mighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity."
Seraphim
And so we say, the Lord be with you and also with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And let's just pause for a moment and bring to God anything that we want to confess to him and ask for his strength to live differently in the coming week. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We've not loved you with our whole hearts. We've not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today, the special prayer. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And Frances is going to come and bring our Bible reading to us as she reads Psalm 77.
This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favour again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Just before Peter comes and speaks to us, I want to share a short story of my own about this psalm, as this psalm is a really significant psalm to me. And it was particularly from several years ago when I was looking for my first job in the church, and we were beginning to get anxious as to why wasn't God showing us what the job it was, and time was ticking on, and we were just wondering when God would come through and show us something. And show us the next step for us. And we were looking at different jobs, and we particularly at that point invited several of our friends to pray, to really pray and listen to God for us, and just to share with us anything that they sensed God saying. Well, only two of our friends particularly got back to us with anything that was significant. And one friend who was in England at the time, another a friend of my wife's who was over in Afghanistan serving in the army there, in the forces there. And when they emailed us and said, we've got a verse for you, completely independently. And both those people hadn't been in touch at all and were several thousand miles apart, didn't even know each other, both sent us this psalm, and particularly verse 19 for us. Verse 19, which said, "Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen." And to us at that time, it was just amazing having this same verse given to us from two people. That's often how God speaks to us sometimes. He gives us the same thing from different sources. But for us, this was a real confirmation at that time of God saying, just wait. I've got a plan for you. I've got a path for you. You can't see your footprints yet. You can't see the way forward yet. But it's there. And trust me. And sure enough, a few weeks later, and I'm going to probably say a little bit more about this when I preach on a different psalm that I was connected with next week, and we found the job that God had got in store for us. But this psalm was just such an encouragement, and that's how, just a great example of how God speaks to us through his words and guides us through his word and through other people who are praying for us. So let's pray for Peter as he comes to speak to us. Lord, we thank you so much for Peter, for his love for you, for his the gifts that you've given him. And we just ask now that you would use his words to take your words and make them come alive in us. Speak to us through this psalm, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, everybody. Can I encourage you to have a Bible with you out at Psalm 77, which is the psalm we're going to be looking at this morning. But before I begin, let me pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we welcome you now. May we encounter you in this psalm. May we discover new riches of who you are and encounter you in this psalm this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me ask you, when was the last time you had a really good rant at God? When did you last pour out your heart? Whether that be an outpouring of rage or of thanksgiving and gratitude, or when did you express your despair and sorrow? Or when did you last just abandon yourself in praise to God? When did you last shout at God? When did you last laugh and weep with God in your times of prayer and conversation with him? Now, I know that none of that is very British, and I'm guessing that for most of us, we don't often pray in those very animated ways. I'm guessing that for most of us, our prayer times are quite, how shall I put it, English, slightly reserved. And there's nothing wrong with that, if that's the case. But I might suggest that we are limiting ourselves and our experience if that's the only way that we converse and pray with God. God created us with a wide range of emotions and feelings. And as relational beings, God is desperate for us to relate in all and through all our emotions, to be fully human when we're with him. The beauty of the Psalms is that they are so full of raw emotion, uncensored feelings. And as the writers come to God with their pain, their confusion, their joy and their praise, there is the full breadth of human emotion to be found here. Personally, to be honest, it's only in the last 6 or 7 years that I've really embraced the Psalms and found them as a place and a great source of solace, particularly in the difficult times, to find psalms that perhaps desperately speak of what I'm feeling, but I don't always have the chance or the ability to communicate. So this is why I've chosen Psalm 77, and I wonder what it's going to teach you this morning. But let me share a couple of things that I hope you can see and learn from it. There are two things that I hope by the end you'll be encouraged by. The first thing is that the psalm encourages us to fully be ourselves in our prayers and conversations with God. That's the first thing. And the second is it teaches us how to not to become overwhelmed by our circumstances. So those are the two things I hope that we will pick out of this. So let's look at this psalm, Psalm 77, that was read to us earlier. There are three core parts to this psalm. The first part, the beginning, is where the author, the psalmist, is crying out in his anguish. That's the verses 1 to 9. And then the psalm ends with the psalmist praising and worshipping God. And that's verses 13 to 20. And the third part is the middle part, verses 10, 11 and 12. And what I've come to call the hinge within this psalm. It's the place where the psalm swings in mood from anguish to praise. And we'll look at that in just a moment. So let's look at each of these parts. And we'll start with the first part. Initially, the psalmist, the author, is pouring out their heart in great anguish. They're crying out to God as it begins. I cry out to God for help. They're in distress. They're groaning and growing faint and weary, verse 3 says, and saying that they are too troubled even to speak, verse 4. In verse 7, the author starts to question God's character. What happened to his unfailing love? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Where is his compassion? He even asks, is God so angry with him that he's walked away completely? He's not there at all. Where are you, God, in circumstances? Ultimately, we can see that the author is bewildered by the apparent lack of action by God, by a sense of God's presence or lack of God's presence in his circumstances. The author seems perplexed by the absence of God. Have you ever felt like that? Do I even need to expect an answer? Of course, we've all felt that. We don't know the specific trouble that this particular psalmist is referring to, but scholars think it's likely that it relates to the exile, Israel's exile, the time when the Babylonian Empire conquered Jerusalem and the Promised Land, and Jerusalem is destroyed, and many of the leaders of the Israelites have been taken into exile into Babylon. I looked up the definition of exile, and it said, exile is a time of banishment or a time of separation. Banishment and separation. Have any of you felt like you've been in a time of exile? Many of the churches globally are reflecting and having a sense that God's people are in exile now. And I think we should take that extremely seriously, because biblically, exiles come as part of judgment, because God's people have not remained holy and have not remained in line with God's guidance and his will. And whatever the cause of exiles, they are definitely times that bring great disturbance. And I spoke about disturbance some weeks ago. Exiles are times of great change and times of great reflection. No difficulty in me saying that lockdown has certainly been an exile for us all. But what about other exiles in your lives? In the past, maybe you're experiencing at the moment, and we will all experience in the future. What do I mean? What about joblessness, an exile from work? Bereavement, an exile through separation from loved ones? What about broken relationships or financial difficulties that have exiled us from prosperity and provision? Despair and depression that exiles us from hope. And there are many other causes of exile that we may have experienced. Whatever our exile in the past, now or in the future that we may experience, we can, dare I say, we must cry out to God. We must pour out our emotions to be true to God in our full humanity, just as the psalmist in Psalm 77 is at the beginning of this psalm. So that's the first part of the psalm, this anguish, this bewilderment by the psalmist. The second part is the end part that I want to talk to. This is a complete shift in emphasis. In contrast, the psalmist, the author, is praising God and declaring that in verse 13, that God is holy, that God is so great, God who performs miracles. He's the mighty God. He's the redeeming God. He's the God that creates and is over all things. And though he doesn't use the word literally, he refers to the good shepherd that leads his people. That's the final verse, verse 20. The God who leads his people, cares for, guides, oversees his people. It's quite interesting that the first half of the psalm, the psalmist is talking about God in a third person, a sort of horizontal plane. And this second half of the psalm, he is talking to God. There is a praise, there's a vertical dimension to the language. It's a very distinct shift. So you have these two very different halves of the psalm. And the middle bit, the third bit, is the great hinge, verses 10 and 11. This is what I've called the hinge. The mood swings from something of anguish to something of praise and worship. We read in verse 10, the distinctive moment where then the author has been crying out to God, confused and hurt, but then something happens. The author says, then I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? The author then makes a choice. There is an act of the author's will. Against all the emotion and the pain and the confusion, the author decides something. What do they decide? Verse 11, I will remember. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember the miracles that the God has done. I will meditate and consider all God's mighty deeds. The author shifts their focus from their own situation. They were previously absorbed by their emotions and feelings. But here, the writer shifts the attention that is focused on themselves and shifts it back onto God. It's an act of choice, an act of will. They set their emotions aside, whether wrapped up in their own world, their own perplexity and bewilderment and confusion and anguish, and they reshift onto God. They put God back in the centre of the story and remove themselves from the centre of the story. In doing this, something changes, and it isn't God that changes. It's the psalmist, it's the author that changes. He shifts from himself in the focus on himself back onto the things of God. I want you to place yourself into the place of the psalmist and the author, if you haven't already done it. Where you've been someone who's been in that place of anguish. And you're now going to put God back into the centre. We need to remember God and remember him and his character. And it's an act of our will, a choice. We're not led by our emotions, we make a decision. Last week, Reverend David Ritchie was teaching out of Psalm 103, calling us not to forget to remember, was his title. In other words, remember who God is, remember what he has done. Put God back in the centre of the story, not ourselves. The call in this psalm is exactly the same. Pour out your pain. Pour out your anguish. Yes, that's really, really important. But we don't stay there. At some point, we need to make a choice to remember and to meditate on the person and the character of God and put him back into the centre of the story. Actually, it reminds me time and time again of what Paul said in his letters. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the answer. In my mid-20s, I was engaged. However, my fiancé of the time broke the engagement off. And as you'd imagine, I was devastated. And like the psalmist, I experienced my moment of exile. I was bewildered and perplexed and desperately hurt and upset, and I cried out. But I tried to resolve and ease the pain through partying and alcohol and some wild living. And that went on for many months, and it took a long time for the pain to go away and for me to get back on the straight and narrow. I stayed in the first half of that psalm. A few years later, I was going out with another girl, a gorgeous person, and after a few months, that girl again began to wonder whether we were right for each other, and in fact, she ended up breaking off the relationship. Again, I was left bewildered and hurt. But by then I had matured a little bit and I had a little bit more story with the Lord. And after, within the sort of following 24 hours of that breakup of that relationship, I fixed my eyes on the Lord. I went back and placed myself into the hinge of that psalm and said, actually, I'm going to trust God. I now can put my trust into God. And know that he's got the very best for me. He knows what is the best for us as a couple. And if we're not supposed to be together, then there's someone else out there for me that's the right person. And very quickly, I was able to set my emotions aside and to trust God and get back on and living. I chose to live that psalm and to engage with the hinge of that psalm, to fix my eyes on God and to move into a place of worship and praise and to remember who God is. Now, wonderfully, 8 months later, I married that very special girl and she's very wise. So that's the bonus of that story. But I had to go through that exile and that journey of this psalm. But this, as I begin to come to an end, this all reminds me of Matthew 6, where Jesus is teaching on do not worry. Do not worry because God knows what we need. And so Jesus says, fix your eyes on the kingdom of God and righteousness, and then God will give you everything that you need. It's again that call to fix our eyes on Jesus, to fix our eyes, meditate on the things of God, and he will give us all that we need to get through the times of exile. And he will give you what you need in your times of exile. So let me draw to a close. And to remind you, those two key things that I think we can take away from this psalm and the teaching this morning. The first thing is encourage you to pour out your emotions. Be fully human when you talk to God. That's the good, the bad, the joys, the hurt, screaming, shouting, dancing, celebrating, laughing. Pour it all out. I encourage you to be fully yourself before God. And the second thing is to remember that hinge within the psalm. Not to stay in that place of exile, stay overwhelmed by the circumstances around you, but to make a choice, and it is a choice, to say, God, I will fix my eyes on you and that you will carry me through. To start with praise and worship and to remember the goodness of God, and he will lead you through the times of exile. So let me finish in prayer, and then that's going to take us into a further time of some worship. So Lord Jesus, thank you that you made us emotional and feeling people. Thank you for the example of the psalmists, who are an example to us as to how we can express ourselves. Help us this week to step into new ways of expressing ourselves to you in our emotions, in our prayers, and in our conversations with you. And help us to fix our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. And can I encourage you this week to step out into new areas of expression? That'll be uncomfortable, but encourage you to do that. And that's how we will grow, by experimenting. And if we're in our own place, spaces at home, that's a great place to experiment and to try. There's no judgment, just times with the Lord. And he wants to be with you. And continue to worship our great and glorious God. Amen.
And on page 24 of our service booklets, we say our affirmation of faith together. We say together in faith, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things, for by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain, for with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, today is Father's Day. And we wanted to particularly just share a little bit before Francis comes and leads us in our prayers of an organisation that we're connected with at St Andrew's and All Saints, which is called Home for Good. And Home for Good is an organisation which is set up to provide a home, particularly for children who don't have one, maybe because their parents aren't able to look after them, or maybe because they've been orphaned or have other particular circumstances. And so therefore it is an organisation which encourages families to adopt and foster children. And we have several Home for Good children in our church. It's a real blessing to us to have these special children come and join us. And on this day of Father's Day, we thought it would be great to have some of these children just come and say some prayers for us. and to pray for those who are still not yet in families, and to thank God for the gift of families. So these special three are going to come and share some prayers now, and then Francis will continue to lead us in our prayers.
Dear God, we thank you that we are able to be called your children. However young or old we are, we thank you that wherever you see us in the world, you want us in your family. Amen.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for the men in our lives who have helped us. We thank you for earthly fathers and carers, for uncles, grandfathers, and the many men who've helped us in our lives. Amen.
Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for helping lonely children find families to belong to. We thank you also for those people who reach out to children who need help. We pray especially for children who are lonely today and ask that you help find a home for every child that needs one. Amen.
The psalm opens with the words, "I cry out to God." During lockdown, many of us have called out to you, God. Help us to count our blessings. Help us to consider the situation of people less fortunate than us across the country. We cannot solve this without your help. Let us pray for a moment for the people who are suffering most during this time. The psalm goes on, "You hold my eyelids open." From you we get life. You are the one who opened our eyes originally. Help us to keep our eyes open as to why people might believe differently to us, and help us to hold our ground calmly and in an understanding way. The psalmist asks, "If your love forever ceased." In this time of crisis, let us appreciate your love and the love of friends and family. Let us show your love to others in our community and outside our direct circle of friends. Christ, you told the story of the Samaritan, the person from a different place who looked different and acted differently. You were a Jew. You were dark-skinned and not part of the ruling ethnicity. Let us learn to trust, honor, and respect different races and cultures even more. Let us hold out against the sad disease of racism, sometimes spouted in your holy name. We all feel the need to get together, Lord. As a church family, we long for the day we can worship in the same physical space once again. Thank you for the fact infections are on the wane in most places. Thank you for the lessening of lockdown that allows us to meet once again. Please give us strength and sense to hold our distance. Please, God. Finally, the psalm points out that there are times when your footsteps are unseen. As the world rocks from crisis to crisis, let us be your footsteps, God. Show us your mercy and understanding. Please, God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Just before communion, we're going to share the peace with each other. And if you've got others who you are watching with, then by all means do share the peace as normal and enjoy sharing the peace with each other. But I want to encourage you, if you are on your own watching this, and particularly perhaps if you sense this morning that you really need the peace of God with you to still your anxieties, to calm your fears, to bring comfort to you in your loneliness. Then as we share the peace, as I offer you, as I share the peace with you, just rest in that precious peace of God. That peace which passes all understanding. That peace which the world cannot give. And in this moment, allow God to give you his special peace. And so we are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The psalmist in Psalm 77 begins, I cried out to God for help. I cried out for God to hear me. And he goes on to talk about just some of the deepest emotions, the distress he's experienced, how he's been really unsettled, how he's been so desperate to meet with God and have God comfort him and bring him peace. He lifts his eyes to God. He comes, draws near to God, and just trusts that as he draws near to God, and as he remembers who God is and what God's done, that God will strengthen him and meet with him. And I want to encourage us as I take communion on behalf of us now, and you might like to share some bread and wine at home as a symbol of what this is representing. I want to encourage, particularly if you're in a difficult place today, for this to be a time where you can come to God and encounter him and pour out your heart to him and remember what he's done for you as we take the bread and the wine and allow him to meet you and bring you comfort and strength and new life. We're going to start on page 30 of Eucharistic Prayer B. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning you have created all things, and all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You gave us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and all the powers of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord, as a mother tenderly gathers her children. You embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them you raised up Jesus our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread, in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. And on the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. And Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation, that they may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us in the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Bring us at the last with all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, and in whom, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. Loving Father, we thank you for feeding us at the supper of your Son. Sustain us with your Spirit, that we may serve you here on earth until our joy is complete in heaven, and we share in the eternal banquet with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And this psalm that we've been looking at has been talking about remembering. Remembering what God has done in the past. And we're going to finish with our final hymn, which is, O God, our help in ages past. It just reminds us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he is our help. That he is our hope. That he is our shelter. And that he will one day bring us home to be with him. Number 498, O God, our help in ages past. Just before we say our final blessing, I just wanted to say something about the fact that our churches are now open for this week for private prayer. As you can see here at All Saints, we've got it set up in a slightly differently to usual, where there's just a chance to come and have some individual socially distanced prayer in this beautiful building. And at St Andrew's is the same too. And we're going to have two slots at each of our churches, to which will be available for anybody to come and pray on their own. So All Saints, we're going to have it open on Monday between 4:30 and 6 in the late afternoon, early evening, and on Thursday between 12 and 2. And at St Andrew's, between 4:30 and 6 on Tuesdays, and between 12 and 2 on Fridays. And there'll be some instructions as to the particular arrangements that we invite you to follow to keep it safe when you come in. And there'll be people who are hosting that prayer. One of Peter or I will be there each time, and we'll be there to welcome you and others and to support you as you come in for that. So if that's something that you would like to do, then please do come and join us. But of course, as many people have said, actually we know we can pray anywhere, and that our God is everywhere, and that we don't have to come into a special place to pray. But if you'd like to do that, church will be open this coming week. And I want to also say to you too that if there's anything that we can support or pray for you, particularly at this time, then please do get in touch as ever. We have a special email, prayoneforme@standrewsandallsaints.org, and we'd love to take prayer requests from anybody, particularly for visitors who are watching in. We'd love to pray with you, particularly in our times that the churches are now open. And if there's any help and support that we can give you too, please do get in touch as well with us by phone or by email. And so a final blessing as we go from here. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. God bless, and we look forward to you joining us next week.